This is the Weekly Squeeze. I am your talented and humble host, Hanala Music, coming at you from the land of Israel with episode 176. How are you doing? If you were not sure whether you were going to hear from me today, well, I wasn't sure either. I like to keep you guys guessing. It doesn't mean I wasn't prepared. I have notes. I've been thinking. I've collected my thoughts. And I'm here to present them to you in a cohesive and entertaining fashion, as only I can. So let's get into it. First of all, Candace Owens. My goodness, that woman is such a behemoth. I really don't want to talk about her. She doesn't even deserve that I should be talking about her. But she's a cow, and this is why. Candace Owens gets on her show following the Super Bowl. Now, we were very excited about the Super Bowl Jewish ads. There were three ads. Two were paid for by Israel. One was paid for by the Safra family, I believe, that were taken out against anti-Semitism. Now, people are saying that they didn't see it and they're in their city, but Bekitzer, there were three beautiful ads. One, you know, showing a guy who sees a Jewish family leaving their house and their garage is desecrated with a swastika. And while the mother takes her kid to school, he repaints it. And the message is, you know, if you see it, you can help. You can change things. You can make a difference. Then there's one about the fathers, the hostage fathers. There's still a whole bunch of dads in Gaza and the clock is ticking for them. Yesterday, there was an announcement that 59-year-old Yair Yaakov, who was kidnapped by Hamas, was murdered in captivity. His daughter was supposed to sing. His daughter, Shir Yaakov, was supposed to sing a song called Come Back for her father this evening, or last night, rather, at the Eden Chasson concert. Eden Chasson is a very popular Israeli singer. He had a huge concert last night. The Chayalim were there. The audience was singing. I put a clip on the Beautiful Land of Israel Instagram page. She was supposed to sing, but she was forced to leave practice. They were rehearsing when she heard the news that her father had been killed. Anyways, so Israel takes out two ads. Why? Because we need awareness. I mean, that's what Hirsch's mom, Rachel Goldberg, has been talking about for 133 days now. She took her message to the Pope. She needs the whole world to know that Hamas has these hostages, or else it would have been old news. Nobody would have thought twice about it. It would have just been buried under everything else. Like, people know what a kibbutz is around the world. They don't know until you explain it to them. So now we have the faces of the hostages plastered all around the world. And in case you missed it, we're going to remind you during the Super Bowl that there are four or maybe eight American hostages, American nationals, being held by Hamas without medication, without any visits from the Red Cross, in terrible conditions, It's a nightmare. And we're raising awareness because people can email the White House. They can call their local representatives every single day. Remind whoever's running the White House that there are American people being held hostage by a terrorist organization in the Middle East. And America should support Israel in any way they can because of their beautiful friendship, because of their beautiful alliance, because of their beautiful camaraderie where they work hand in hand to create peace on earth. That's really the goal. America represents peace. Peace through strength, through wealth, through meritocracy, through achievement. That's what it's all about. And of course, God is first. That's why it says on the dollar, in God we trust. And America is blessed and will keep functioning so long as they remember that. So long as they remember that no president is a god. And a leader that says, everything comes from me and only me, well, that's not going to provide for a functioning society as we see. So Israel takes out these commercials, pays out of pocket, and delivers a powerful message that can only help people. Because what does it hurt to help get the hostages home? It doesn't hurt anyone. It's not like they're criminals that are going to come back to Israel and start murdering other people like the Palestinian prisoners will and do. So they're just innocent people that we need help getting home, international pressure, whatever it might take. And Candace Owens has a problem with it. Candace Owens has a problem with it. Why? Number one, America gives Israel so much money. And what's Israel doing with their money? They're taking out $14 million worth of ads for the Super Bowl. And Candace Owens, who, by the way, is best friends with Kanye West, who spends more money on his Unshtegatkes than Israel's entire yearly budget, okay? And she's telling Israel how they should spend their money. Because what's the point, she's saying? All they really want is to pull at your heartstrings so they can take your taxes and they can manipulate you and control your mind with propaganda. And by the way, she adds on air, she's a top 10 national conservative podcast host. And on air, she says, and while Bibi is bombing a refugee camp. Are you stupid? There are no refugee camps. There are no refugees. It's a myth. It's a myth that was perpetuated by the United Nations and all the Jew haters in Europe who fund this organization simply to get on the Jewish people's nerves, to keep them down. Because God forbid the Jews should be successful, because as soon as we become successful, we become the white bad people. And Bibi is a white bad person. Never mind that he sacrificed his entire life, including his own life and his brother's life. Bibi almost drowned in the Suez Canal with a backpack, holding his gear when his boat capsized. Something like that. But Candace Owens doesn't like that he's spending money on trying to get people back because Biden's not doing it. Did you see a national campaign about the American hostages? Can you even tell me which ones are the American hostages? We have Hirsch. I know that Hirsch is an American. I can't think off the top of my head specifically of another one. And that just goes to show that a lot has to still be done. And it makes a difference. It matters. But not to Candace Owens. Because they're not her kids. And she cannot be compassionate to Jews. And that, my friends, is what makes her the bigger anti-Semite than Kanye West. Because Kanye West is a polner meshuggah, as my grandmother would say. He's insane. Clinically insane. Like, no one can deny that. You take one look at him on a good day, and his eyes tell you everything you need to know. Candace, however, she should know better. She should know better. Where is her sympathy? She doesn't know that Ben Shapiro was a wreck for 3 months after October 7th, after seeing the horrors up front and experiencing them like they happened to his own children. She doesn't know that. She doesn't know how to read. She doesn't know how to read all the information that's coming out of Israel that proves that these refugee camps are just havens for terrorists and terrorist weapons, and that all the people in Gaza have the same mentality. They don't support freedom. They don't support the West. And you know what, Candace Owens, had you been in Israel, and you could have been, you came here once, right? You came for the opening of the embassy. If you were in Israel and you were staying in a kibbutz and your two little girls were running around, a girl or boy, whatever you have, they could have been victims of Hamas and you would be singing a very different tune if you could sing. But you can't sing, so you talk. You know what they say? If you can't sing, you talk. I, on the other hand, have proved that I can sing. So yeah, that is my decision not to talk about Candace Owens because she literally has overstayed her welcome. Like, that woman has to go. Seriously, Ben Shapiro, I know you're not a listener. Fire her, please. Everybody thinks so. Everybody thinks so. I put it on Instagram. I put a video on Instagram and I let the people talk. Well, first I spoke. I said, there are 4 Americans still being held in Gaza. They could be any of our children, any of our parents, any of our spouses. Where is the humanity? And for the record, Candace, Israel doesn't need America. They have a mutually beneficial relationship. And right now, Israel is fighting America's war because, God forbid, Israel backs down. Y'all going to have yourself a huge terrorist problem on your hands in the Middle East. A little more. And I said, the only propaganda we see is coming from you and undereducated and hateful people like yourself. You should know better. But alas, what a foolish woman you have proven to be. This is what matters. Saving the innocent. Hashtag Daily Wire. Cut her loose. First of all, Michael Rapaport, he commented, I guess he liked the clown face that I added to her makeup. And he commented, ha, 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 ha. And that got 223 likes. Michael Rapaport, I just want to talk about him for 1 second before I read you the rest of the comments. He cracks me up. Do you know that he's back in Israel? Now, I don't know who this guy is. I just know that he's obviously very Jewish. He looks Jewish. He sounds Jewish. I believe he's a sports reporter. He's been doing podcasting on sports for years. Somehow, he has been completely rejuvenated as a proud, brazen, and bold Jewish defender of Israel over the last 4 months. And I cannot love this guy anymore. Now, granted, his language, he has a potty mouth. He really has a potty mouth. It's part of his charm. It's like kind of shock jock radio style. But I'm not going to send you in his direction. I just will tell you that it's only a matter of time till he becomes a full-fledged chassid of something. I'm telling you, I see it. He's putting on tefillin, and he's dancing, and he's singing, and he's excited, and he's meeting the hostages, and he's standing in the Judean wine press. He's like, Israel will always be the Jewish land from the river to the sea, and he's jumping on it, and he's like, look, Muslims don't drink alcohol. Clearly, Israel is an ancient Jewish land, ranting and raving. This guy, he's raised so much awareness for the hostages. What a good guy. I think it's only a matter of time before he becomes Frum, moves to Israel, and Taqit looks like the picture on his Instagram where he has, I mean, it's an Amish beard. This must be when he went to Pennsylvania, but he looks like a Lubavitcher here. Sans the mustache. So that has been nice to watch. Candace, on the other hand, well, she needs Reb Nachman. She's full of hate. She's full of hate. She needs Reb Nachman. All right. There is a lot of breaking news in Israel. Let's get to all the bookmarks I saved on Twitter. That's how I keep track of what's going on and what I want to talk about and what I want to share with you guys. I know that some of you don't rely on me for news, and that's fine, but I do know a lot of stuff because I am well-connected and in the business of being well-connected. I always tell my husband, I have connections, okay? I come from Lubavitch. I know a lot of people. I'm a singer. I'm in some very powerful WhatsApp groups. I know what's happening. So stick around. There's always something interesting happening here. All right, let's talk about what's actually happening here. First of all, IDF troops, well, they're operating against Hamas terrorist organizations in hospitals in Khan Yunis. So yes, they are operating in yet another hospital, not literally operating, but taking out terrorists because the terrorists love to be in hospitals because that's the last place a terrorist should be. By the way, there were rockets in the north from Hezbollah that almost landed in a hospital. The rocket literally hit the edge of the hospital. You see it on camera. It also killed a female soldier who couldn't get into the Mamad on time. And the world said nothing. I bet you didn't hear about it, right? But the fact that Hamas is hiding in hospitals, well, that's, you know, that can't be. That can't be. That's ridiculous. Israelis just want to go into hospitals and kill babies. Hello, don't you know anything about what's happening in the Middle East? It sounds crazy. Anyway, here is the operational update from IDF spokesperson Daniel Agari on the IDF's efforts to find and return the bodies of hostages and the precise and limited mission underway in Nasser Hospital.
Since the Hamas massacre of October 7th, the IDF has been operating to fulfill its mission of dismantling Hamas and bringing our hostages home. We operate against Hamas terrorists wherever they are hiding. And as we proved with the successful rescue missions of our hostages, we are committed to our mission of bringing our hostages home. Sadly, we know that some hostages are no longer alive. We are committed to finding and returning the bodies of those hostages in Gaza. We conduct precise rescue operations as we have in the past, where our intelligence indicates that the bodies of hostages may be held. We have credible intelligence from a number of sources, including from released hostages, indicating that Hamas held hostages at the Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis, and that there may be bodies of our hostages in the Nasser Hospital facility, as was proven with the Shifa Hospital, Rantisi Hospital, El Amal Hospital, and many other hospitals across Gaza. Hamas systematically uses hospitals as terror hubs. According to intelligence assessments and information we gathered on the ground, over 85% of major medical facilities in Gaza have been used by Hamas for terror operations. Because Hamas terrorists are likely hiding behind injured civilians inside Nasser Hospital right now, and appear to have used the hospital to hide our hostages there too, the IDF is conducting a precise and limited operation inside Nasser Hospital. This sensitive operation was prepared with precision and is being conducted by IDF special forces who underwent specified training for this mission. A key objective, as defined by our military mission, is to ensure that the Nasser Hospital continues its important functions of treating Gazan patients. We communicated this in a number of conversations we had with the hospital staff over the last few days. We emphasized that there is no obligation for patients or staff to evacuate the hospital. However, we have been urging other Gazans in Arabic, on the phone, and via loudspeakers to move away from the danger that Hamas puts them in. Via a humanitarian corridor we opened for this purpose, for the purpose of protecting uninvolved civilians in Gaza. We coordinated the transfer of medical supplies and equipment to the Nasser Hospital. We sent oxygen tanks and fuel for electricity at the request of the hospital to ensure its essential functions continue uninterrupted. This was done in coordination with international organizations. We have doctors and Arabic-speaking IDF officers on the ground to communicate to the staff and the patients inside the Nasser Hospital. Our message to them is clear. We seek no harm to innocent civilians. We seek to find our hostages and bring them home. We seek to hunt down Hamas terrorists wherever they may be hiding.
That is the sound of a heartbroken spokesperson who has said things he probably never thought he'd say before. In any case, he actually records from the Shetach. I saw a TikTok video, and you see him in the Shetach, in the battlefield, literally explosions in the background, and they set up a quick backdrop, the cameras, the press comes, a shtender, a podium, and he gives his press conference from the battlefield. This is not a guy who's sitting in an office somewhere running operations from behind the scenes. Israel's soldiers are brave, and they show up, and they do what needs to be done, and they are angels. They are absolute angels. And before I get into how they are angels, let me just finish with everything else, and I'll leave it to the end. I have something really nice for you. All right. Netanyahu, Israel outright rejects international dictates regarding a permanent settlement with the Palestinians. Everybody is talking about a two-state solution. There will be no reward for the Palestinian people. That's it. Just like when you catch a robber in a house who just murdered the whole family, you're not like, hey, we're going to give you the pool house so that you don't break into their house and kill them again, because that's just not right. Here. Here's a place to live. Congratulations. It makes no sense. I don't know why there's a conversation about this. The Palestinians are not getting a state. They're getting a sandwich, a Band-Aid, and a kick in the behind. Go find somewhere else to live. You screwed it up. You screwed it up. You had 75 years to figure it out. 75 years you guys didn't get your act together. Toodaloo. Seriously, who gets so many chances? Your teenage son doesn't get so many chances. At some point, you know, if you're just constantly spitting at the hand who feeds you, at some point you're on your own. So Bibi said, he says, I clarified my position in the meeting regarding the recent talk of imposing a Palestinian state on Israel, imposing a Palestinian state on Israel. Because yes, it's going to be our problem if we give them any more freedom. Because as we see, as we now know, all they do with their free time and their money is terrorism. So we will not be imposed a Palestinian state. Israel outrightly rejects international dictates regarding a permanent settlement with the Palestinians. Such an arrangement will be reached only through direct negotiations between the parties without preconditions. There's no preconditions. Israel is here. We exist. We are a sovereign country, and we are going to decide the rules. And if you behave, you can stay here and live happily ever after. If you try to kill us, out you go. He continues, such a recognition following the massacre of October 7th will give a huge reward to terrorism that was like no other and will prevent any future peace settlement. King Bibi Melech Yisrael. I know, I love him. I'm furious at him. I kind of go back and forth, but like, who does America think they are? It's like, that is literally modern day colonization. America's like, we're going to colonize Israel, and we're going to colonize them with these murderer terrorists. Ta-da! We solved the problem in the Middle East. I don't understand why everyone thinks we ask them. It's like, when I need your opinion, I'll tell you what it is. Like, who asked you for your opinion? It's just outrageous. The prime ministers of Australia, Canada, and New Zealand this week issued the following statement on reports of Israel's planned military operation in Rafah, where we, by the way, retrieved two hostages. Shalom Aleichem. So they have a suggestion, and their suggestion is, please stop. Please stop. Don't go into Rafah. If you go into Rafah, it's going to be a disaster. It's that of the growing international consensus that Israel must listen to its friends. Some friends. With friends like these, who needs enemies? Still calling for a ceasefire. Hamas doesn't want a ceasefire. Hamas just wants to continue terrorizing because now they're in their mode. This is like amazing for them. They can kill freely now and call it a war and the whole world supports it. Before it was like a little iffy, you know, Chaval, it's a terrorist attack, but nobody gets us. Now they're like, everybody gets us. So let's just keep doing it. We are winning the people. But the world doesn't like it. Australia, Canada, and New Zealand, who nobody asked, well, they think the Palestinians and Israel should live side by side. Well, somebody should tell that to the Palestinians who are living side by side with the Jewish people on Israel's border on October 6th. People who had signs on their houses that said, Shalom now, peace, whatever it takes, peace with the Arabs. That's what they wanted. And instead, they were murdered. And their lives were ravaged on every level. But the Iber Chachams in Australia, Canada, and New Zealand, they have an Eitza. They have advice for Israel. A favor. I'm sorry. I just get so frustrated. It's like I'm sitting here going to the park with my dog on what's supposed to be just a peaceful morning, and I can't help but look at the 12 newly planted trees that are right there. They're right there in the park where the kids are playing. Each one representing a life that was taken away. And these are incredible people. These are incredible people that we are losing. These are not just some Joe Schmoes who went to the army because they couldn't get a job, McDonald's. These are Israel's reservists. These are Israel's students. These are Israel's medical interns, scientists, and brilliant minds that work in high tech. These are not just some loser schlepper terrorists. They're real quality people, and it's so frustrating. And things are not over for the Israeli people, unfortunately. This is as of 8:43 this morning. It's now 9:53 a.m. here in Israel Friday morning. And this is what I need to know before Shabbos. Israel prepares citizens for potential conflict with Hezbollah. If you're listening on Friday morning, well, say Tehillim. The IDF has been directed to initiate a comprehensive media campaign aimed at readying the population for a potential major conflict and to provide guidance on emergency procedures and protective measures in the event of a significant assault on Israel's domestic front. I personally, in my safe room, have a bunch of knives and batteries and Band-Aids and a solar-powered radio and bottles of water. So it's definitely something that Israel. Okay, let's continue. This is fun. Who's having a good time? Don't forget to subscribe and like the Weekly Squeeze podcast. Hey, I would love to talk about fun things. And we're going to leave you in a good mood. We're going to share some positive stories and a beautiful song. But in the meantime, this is reality. And, you know, you got to be prepared. That's just the way it is now. That's part of being a grown-up. Senior Israeli officials have conducted exercises to prepare for the possibility of a large-scale conflict across multiple fronts. Defense Minister Gallant has issued a warning to Hezbollah, stating that the IDF is capable of swiftly escalating attacks in Lebanon. Intelligence analyst David Citronowitz has underscored the high risk of escalation. Okay, the Upper Galilee Regional Council reports ongoing road closures along the Ramim Ridge on the Lebanon border per IDF directives. Several communities, including Kibbutzim Miskav Av and Manara on Moshav Mergaliot, remain without power following rocket attacks on Kiryat Shmona and surrounding neighborhoods. The IDF has conducted airstrikes targeting three Hezbollah-utilized buildings in the southern Lebanese villages of Kantara, Yarin, and Tebe. Additionally, a site linked to the terror group in Labuna was struck. All right, everybody stay calm. It's all under control. And people want to know why we're tense and why we're nervous. You got to hear this. This is from the Daily Mail in the UK. This article came out yesterday. You got to hear this. This is the headline. Israeli rappers call for Dua Lipa, Bella Hadid, and Mia Khalifa to be killed in controversial chart-topping war anthem, which tells the celebrities they deserve what's coming. Rappers Ness and Stila released their drill song Harbu Darbu last year. Last year means in December. Since then, with its pro-war lyrics, it has gone on to become an anthem for IDF troops fighting in Gaza, while its video has been watched 18 million times. I can't with these people. Two Israeli rappers have called for the murder of Muslim celebrities, singer Dua Lipa and model Bella Hadid and Mia Khalifa, in this rap song. Now, if you never heard Harbu Darbu, you're missing out. That said, it starts off with the F word, unfortunately, because the F word is just not a bad word here in Israel. It's just not, there's no real curse words in Hebrew because Hebrew is a holy language. There's no four letter word or any word for that matter that it's usher to say, that it's forbidden to say. There are no words in Hebrew you are not allowed to say except Hashem's name in the bathroom, right? So the F word, unfortunately, is used here liberally. It means the same thing, but it doesn't have the impact, unfortunately, for me, for someone who grew up in America, where that's like the worst word ever. So the song starts out, a bunch of rats getting out of the tunnel. Okay, so far, that's accurate. Acting like thugs, you idiots, I swear there will be no forgiveness. No, we will not forgive. I'm actually going to pull up the lyrics that my friend Uri Gobi sent me. Uri Gobi translated the song. It took him hours so that we can have the lyrics here and break them down and prove that it's only Hamas who are doing the threatening, okay? Bunch of rats coming out of the holes, trying to intimidate us, you fools. Take my word for it. There won't be forgiveness. Who do you think you are yelling Free Palestine? Tfi. That's how like Israelis say Tfi. They spit. Nei Amalek. The sons of Amalek. Destruction. And then they sing left, right, left, right. See how the whole country is in uniform from the Galilee to Eilat. Soldiers, female soldiers, male soldiers, Dudivan, Magav. I don't know the names of these groups. Honestly, until this war started, I just thought they were soldiers in the air, in the ocean, and on land. I didn't go to the army. This is all new to me. So they're rapping, we brought the whole army upon you and swear there will be no forgiveness. Okay, so far so good. Tfi, sons of Amalek. All the units ready. Attention, Golani. And they say, one, two, shoot. Nahlawi, one, two, shoot. Armed Corps, one, two, shoot. All right, so that's the gist. Where is Givati? One, two, shoot. The Air Force, the Navy, one, two, shoot. Artillery Corps, paratroopers, one, two, shoot. All the units in the IDF are about to unleash hell and chaos onto your head. That's Harbu Darbu. Hell and chaos onto your head. Again, one, two, shoot, one, two, shoot, one, two, shoot. Combat engineers, intelligence, and kfir. All the units in the IDF are about to unleash hell and chaos onto their heads. So far, great song. Okay, I wouldn't write it, but you know, it's a good song. Feel the shockwaves all the way to Tel Aviv. All the girls are checking out the soldiers. And also the guy on TV looks handsome. They're yelling at me, Free Palestine. But somehow that sounds like a holiday sale. Half a minute and the whole country is in uniform, in reserves, in regular service. Everyone, one, two, shoot. For mom and dad, for grandma and grandpa, writing names on tank shells. There's a thing here in Israel that people are dedicating shells, rockets that are being shot off towards Gaza or dropped off airplanes to kill terrorists. They're writing lichvod this one or that one in honor of this one or that one, like for the kids in the Gaza envelope, the Galilee and central Israel as well. Everyone is ready for a throwdown. All the units ready, Golani, Nahlawi, they do that whole thing again. And then at the end of the song, that's where they assume we're calling to kill Bella Hadid. And they say, okay, so all the units in the IDF are about to unleash hell and chaos onto their heads. And then it gets to the part of the song that is officially controversial, that's leading the world to think that these rappers who, yes, are serving in the army, and that this song, that yes, is the number one song in Israel for 14 consecutive weeks, is problematic because they say like this, wait till we drop it like rain on you, epithet. Everyone who planned, supported, executed, and murdered, every dog will get what's coming to him. You're in trouble. Every dog will get what's coming to him. You hear? Every dog will get what's coming to him. Nasrallah. Every dog will get what's coming to him. Mohammed Daif. Every dog will get what's coming to him. Khania. Every dog will get what's coming to him. Abu Baklawa. It's just a random name. And Abu Ali is an Arabic term for a bully. So Abu Baklawa, he'll get his day. Bella Hadid, Dua Lipa, Mia Khalifa, every dog will get what's coming to them. That's the song. And I'll play it for you and I'll take out the bad words and you'll get a feeling for the vibe. But by the way, you know how you say a male terrorist in Hebrew? Mechabel. You know how you say a female terrorist in Hebrew? Mechabela Hadid. They say in the song Mechabela, which means female terrorist. Anyways, this song is not calling for the death of anyone. The song is calling for the death of terrorists. And if Bella Hadid and Mia Khalifa think that they are terrorists, well, then, you know, you're going to get what's coming for you. But if you are not, and if you're just being objective and not spreading blood libels about Israel, sending money to Gaza, or supporting terror on the Jewish people, then you have nothing to be worried about. Then you are golden, because we have bigger fish to fry. We do. Israel has bigger fish to fry, believe it or not, than Mechabel HaChadid. So everybody needs to relax. And yeah, like the song says, every dog has its day. All right, here you go. A clip of Harbu Darbu. Make sure you put your phone on one speed. Here we go. Chatzstein shoot. Here we go. Rats coming out of the tunnels, trying to intimidate us, won't forgive you. Who do you think you are, yelling Free Palestine? Bnei Amalek! Destruction. Left, right, left, right, everyone's in uniforms. Female soldiers, male soldiers. The whole army we're bringing on you. Bnei Amalek! Attention. I guess he's gonna do a harbu darbu on you. Another X from the rifle. Every dog has its day. Everyone who plans, supported, executed, and murdered. You're in trouble. You hear? That's right. All the units in the IDF are about to unleash hell and chaos onto their heads. So this is the song that they're writing about in the Daily News, where they happen to mention that Bella Hadid, who is Palestinian on her father's side, she tweeted, "While I have hopes and dreams for Palestinians, none of them include the harm of a Jewish person." Really? Really? So why do you spread blood libels about the IDF? Because that causes harm to the Jewish people. I don't believe any of them. This whole thing is so ridiculous. I think they should play this song when Israel comes next to the Hague. I do. I think when the door swings open and the lawyers for Israel and whoever's going to be there march into court, that song should be playing in the background. It's a great song. It's a rallying tune. And I have no issue with it whatsoever. That said, I wouldn't play it at your bar mitzvah. It's not like the most appropriate song in the world. But it hits the spot. You know, it hits the spot. It scratches the itch. We need a space to vent. And music is a great place to express how you're feeling. And this is how Israel's feeling. It's time to take out the terrorists and all their supporters. And we don't mean killing anybody in America. We're not coming for you. Relax. In your gilded castles over there, you supermodels. We're not coming for you. We have bigger fish to fry. We have hostages we're preoccupied with. So it's all good. It is all good. Speaking of it's all good, Matisyahu is in the news. He tweeted out yesterday that his planned shows were canceled, not because he can't sing, sorry, not because of security reasons, but because staff was unwilling to work due to his pro-Israel stance. Yeah, so apparently his band was told that instead of playing a sold-out show at Meow Wolf in Santa Fe last night, as they were excited to do, the staff at these venues refused to come to work, forcing cancellations. Without our permission or approval, the venue in Santa Fe misinformed our fans, canceling the show due to security concerns. He concludes, "It's truly a sad day when dialogue with those you disagree with is abandoned for hate mongering and silencing artistic expression. My band and I will keep moving forward always." And then he continued, "Tearing down posters of kidnapped children does not bring peace. Chanting genocidal slogans at Jews does not bring peace. Preventing fans of all ethnic and religious backgrounds from singing together in Santa Fe or Tucson does not bring peace. In fact, it does the opposite. It may make some people feel good to express anger publicly in hopes that it will obscure the hypocrisy of us Americans living on actual colonized land." Ooh, he goes there. "Taken through an actual genocide of Native Americans. But I refuse to succumb on such destructive behavior, which helps nobody and only fuels more anger." He was here in Israel. He sang for the communities located on Israel's border with Gaza. He sang for the Chayalim. He sang with Netta, "I'm Not Your Toy." And then he continued his tour in America, where he met with some hostilities. Well, it's time to make Aliyah, and here no one will bother you or ask you for your autograph. You'll just be like another celebrity living in Israel, Jamie Geller and Hanala and Nissan Black. And who else lives here? Oh, you know who's coming here? You know who's making Aliyah officially? The Hearts. I had them on this podcast. They're a couple from the West Coast, African-American, converting to Judaism. They were finally converted. They are such authentic, amazing people. And they announced they're making Aliyah and they're moving to Israel. And I think that's great. I think it's great. If you're making Aliyah, good for you. But before you do, do brush up on your historical knowledge. And I don't mean the history of the land. I mean the actual national symbols of Israel, which we are going to run through quickly before I present you with one final song to help you get into the Shabbos mode and pray for our Chayalim. So I was looking things up today because I was translating a song that was sung by a group of children. It's actually an entire school. You see the staff and the students and you see some reservists and they're all singing along to an Israeli folk song that I had never heard before. So I'm sitting and translating this song and it's about the cyclamen. The cyclamen is a pink flower that used to be Israel's national flower. Now, I thought the anemone, the poppycock, the red tulip, I thought that was Israel's national flower, but it turns out I was right and wrong at the same time, because in 2007, the cyclamen, the rakefet, was elected as the national flower of the state of Israel, represented in the botanical exhibition We Are the World, held in Beijing. However, its role as Israel's national flower was short-lived because in 2013, a mere 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 6 years later, the anemone or the kalania was chosen to replace it as Israel's national flower. And now in spring, in February, you can see these bright red, beautiful flowers studding the entire countryside with bright red flowers. And it's emotional because they only last a short time. It's a very exciting point in the transition between winter and spring. Israelis never get tired of this. They go down to the south, to Drom Ha'adom, Drom is south, to the Red South, just to go take pictures of these flowers every year. And the fact that we have hostages that are missing it, it's really intense. All right. So the official flower of Israel is the kalania, which comes from the word kala, which means bride, because they're as beautiful as brides. So that's something you need to know when you make aliyah. You will see those pretty much all through February and then not at all for the rest of the year. There's other flowers that come and go. All right. The national emblem of Israel is the menorah. Did you know that? The menorah, the emblem designed by brothers Gabriel and Maxim Shamir, was officially chosen on February 1949 from among other proposals submitted as part of the 1948 design competition. I would love to see that. What else was submitted? I'm sure there are some beautiful things and interesting things. Like, did anyone suggest a bagel? So the menorah with the leaves around it, that's the national emblem of Israel. You can see it on flags. I believe it's on the Yerushalayim flag. But yeah, that is the official. It's called the Eschution. You know, there's somebody who listens and sends me WhatsApp messages when I make mistakes. Like I said, anecdote instead of antidote. And she let me know. So I just want to thank you for doing that. I forgot to reply. Now I'm remembering. Let me know how to pronounce Eschution. Is a shield that forms the main or focal element in an achievement of arms. The word can be used in two related senses. In the first sense, an Eschution is the shield upon which a coat of arms is displayed. In the second sense, an Eschution can itself be a, where's the rest? Oh, it's just a preview. In any case, if you know how to pronounce that, let me know. National colors, blue and white, as seen on the flag of Israel, but you know that. The national tree, what is it? Say it with me. The olive tree, one of the Shevaminim, the seven species of the land as described in the Torah. Israel has incredible olive oil, and I make sure to only buy oil that is pressed and manufactured here. The national dog of Israel is the Canaanite dog. The Canaanite dog is a member of the pariah type dogs, a subfamily of the Spitz group of dogs. It is very common in the southern Levant region from Sinai to Syria. Every single second dog in this country is half Canaanite, except my dog, who's half Husky and shedding her summer coat now. all over the place. Literally, we are drowning in fur. And before you're like, ew, it is gross. But you know what? I have a great vacuum and three daughters who shed. So I just vacuum all the time. And it makes it harder for the kids complaining to get on my nerves. So everybody wins. The national butterfly is the common blue. Huh. I didn't even know that Israel had a national butterfly. Oh, it only was elected in 2023. In 2023, someone's like, you know what we need to discuss? A national butterfly. And finally, all of Israel could concur on something. I'm not sure what's involved in voting, but if more than three people were involved, there was an argument for sure. But yeah, so those are the main symbols of the state of Israel. And I hope you learned something today, because I did not know that the two blue stripes on the Israeli flag represent a talis, a prayer shawl. I did not know that. Or both sides of the split Red Sea and the Jews walking through it. Because flags mean something. Unless you have a Palestinian flag, which is really a Jordanian flag. So, you know, let's just know our culture and our history so that when people argue, we could say, hey, we know what's up. We listen to the Weekly Squeeze and we know what Israel's all about. We know about the cuisine and we know about the music and we know about the sports and the art and the literature and the history. Yes, and the history, which unlike Rashida Tlaib, who I like to call Take Out the Trashida Tlaib, who has been literally blood libeling and defiling Israel every waking moment of the last 4 months. She still has a tweet up that Israel bombed that hospital with a community note. It literally has a note underneath that says this tweet is false. And she just kind of left it up. She's like, well, maybe someone will read it and not get that far. Unbelievable. She was the only person in the Congress not to vote against Hamas rapists. That's it. I don't believe that happened. I don't believe that they're terrorists. I don't believe that they're rapists. I don't believe Israeli women. Well, you know what? It's time to take out the Trashida because we don't believe you, which is a good thing because you literally lie through your two big fat front Palestinian teeth on a regular basis about Israel, providing actual blood libels on the internet for your psychotic minions that believe everything you say. Israel is not committing genocide. The IDF do not assault or hurt or violate Palestinian children. And nobody's starving in Gaza. Yogurts cost exactly in Gaza like they cost here in my supermarket. Because we're also paying war prices. And we didn't even do anything. All right, guys, to wrap this up, I just want to thank you all for reaching out and sending me messages from time to time and letting me know that you're listening to the show. I got such a nice message hang on, I gotta pull this up because this is worth reading word for word. I went onto the Weekly Squeeze podcast Instagram page, which I never visit anymore because I'm so preoccupied with my beautiful land of Israel, which you should be following if you're on Instagram. If you're not, good for you. If you are, the link is in the show notes. But I got a message here from Jonathan, and Jonathan wrote to me that he just made a donation to St. Jude on their website dedicated to Liora Argamani, the mother of Noah, the Chinese-Israeli mother who's waiting for her daughter, who's being held hostage by Hamas in God knows what conditions and what a horrible environment this beautiful girl currently finds herself in while her mother, Noah, dies of cancer. And he wrote, thank you for your podcast. I listen to the episodes at work while I'm running my machines. We make the engines for Black Hawk helicopters, and it makes me proud knowing that we are indirectly helping the IDF by providing components for their military equipment. You sure do, and I see those helicopters overhead as soldiers are transferred from the war zones to local hospitals. We constantly have one or two helicopters overhead throughout the day, and we pray for our soldiers to be treated in time to save their lives and that they should be okay. And many of them are really not okay, so it's pretty nebach. So thank you, Jonathan, for listening. Feel free to message me. If you want to get in touch with me, chanelasings@gmail.com. Follow me on my beautiful land of Israel or leave me a voice note. I love SpeakPipe because you can just like say your piece as you're driving. Just click on the link, leave me a voice note. I could put it here on the podcast. We can talk about it, or you could just, you know, criticize me in private. All right. I want to leave you with a song that I translated this week that really, really touched me. I thought this was so beautifully done because I've been struggling with this also. We all know that this is a Milchemet Mitzvah, a war that is commanded to the Jewish people to take upon themselves. We all know that everyone in this country has been touched and involved in this war on some level. We have reservists of every age, men and women from every background, serving in the Army right now, on the front lines, getting hurt, getting injured, losing limbs. And this is the reality for the Israeli people. It's a time of war, and everybody has to hold the stretcher. And if you've ever seen an army doing a stretcher drill, or a stretcher walk, as they call it, you'll know what I'm talking about. Because before the soldiers graduate, and this week I actually saw two swearings in at the Kotel, where the IDF swears in, and all the families come, and the Chayalim put their hands on a Bible, or a Quran, or a New Testament, and they say, Ani Nishpa, Ani Nishpa, Ani Nishpa, I swear, I swear, I swear. And they sing Atikva, and they throw their caps in the air, and the families are there and hugging, and it's very special. I've been there on the ground, and I've taken videos, and the families are hugging their sons, and they're so proud, and they bring them baskets of fruit and flowers, and the girlfriends are there, and it's emotional, and you just look around, and it's all happening by the Kotel, and it's just really powerful stuff. And these guys don't want to be fighting. They just want to be living their lives. And this is something that was thrust upon them. But when you see them on the battlefield, when you see these incredible people, these doctors and these teachers and these principals and mechanics and singers and plumbers, everybody showing up to do what needs to be done. These are our angels in uniform. And this is a beautiful new song. I'm going to put a link in the show notes from a singer named Kobe Aflulu, I think it is. And the lyrics really touched me. They really just, the song really, from all the songs I've heard so far, what a tribute to the Chayalim. I'm going to read you the lyrics in English, then I will play the song. Don't forget to put your phone back to one speed. But listen to the lyrics. And this is all set. The backdrop are gorgeous HD photographs of our Chayalim and Chayalot. I'll put a link in the show notes so you can watch it on YouTube. I'll put a link. You can watch it on Instagram with the words. Listen to these words, and then I'll play the song, which you can enjoy while you prepare and get ready for Shabbat. There are angels who soar without wings, with fire in their eyes, ready to embrace risks so we may grow old. This is about the Chayalim. There are angels who, aside their guns, hold a guitar, safeguarding a nation's song, one of hope ascending on high during Ne'ilah's prayers. And this is the chorus. And it's the spirit of the warrior that can never be broken. For when they don the uniform, they are warriors. They are angels who are consecrating life. Shemekadshim et hachayim. They're sanctifying life. They're consecrating life. They're not taking life. They're not destroying life. They're preserving life. That's what sets us apart. We are fighting to preserve life. The song continues. There are angels dispatched from heaven by a merciful God to be his hands, to protect and to defend over the dreams of every soldier. And like lions who roar, but from love, within the heart of the battle, they're like nobody else. Everything is made possible because of them. And it's the spirit of the warrior that can never be broken. For when they don the uniform, they are warriors, lochamim. They are angels, malachim, who are consecrating life. And that is the song, and that is the message. And for me, this was so on point. They're not taking life. They're not trying to hurt anyone. We're not killing babies. We are preserving life. We are defending Israel. We are defending the innocent young men and women who deserve to live and play in their parks and not become a tree. That's what our Chayalim are doing, and they truly are malachim. So put your phone on one speed and enjoy this song from Kobe Aflulu, or Aflulu. Forgive me, Kobe. Malachim Bamadim. Angels in uniforms.
יש מלאכים שעפים גם בלי כנפיים, עם האש שבעיניים, ומוכנים להסתכן כדי שנוכל להזדקן. יש מלאכים לצד רובה תופסים גיטרה, שומרים על מדינה ששרה, על התקווה שמעלה תפילות בשעת הנעילה. והרוח הלוחמת אף פעם לא נשברת, שהם עולים על המדים, שמקדשים את הרוח הלוחמת. החיים. יש מלאכים כמו נשלחים מהשמיים, לאל רחום הם הידיים, להגן להילחם על חלומו של כל לוחם. כמו אריות ששואגים מאהבה מתוך ליבה של הקרבה, שאין דומה לה בעולם, ובזכותה הכל קיים. והרוח הלוחמת אף פעם לא נשברת, כשהם עולים על המדים הם לוחמים, הם מלאכים שמקדשים את הרוח הלוחמת שאף פעם לא נשברת, כשהם עולים.
So there you have it, episode 176 of the Weekly Squeeze. A link to both of those songs are in the show notes, as well as a link to the Weekly Squeeze WhatsApp chat. You can also leave me a speak pipe or follow my Israel Instagram account, my beautiful lines of Israel. Make a donation to the IDF. And like my show.